All right. Making sure. All right, no fear. We're going to look at another text here from Matthew chapter 10. What kinds of fears do you have? If you remember a while ago, I told you of my great fear of those vile and loathsome creatures, mice. I hate them. But here's another one of my fears. I don't know, some of you may know about, but I am horrified of heights. And so when we were on vacation the first week of June, we went and saw the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and we went and saw this lighthouse, which is on Currituck Island, and I think that's the name of the lighthouse too. And there's 232 steps inside. You want to know how I know that? Because my wife thought it was a good idea that we go up it, because we had the opportunity, so we did. And this next slide here is a picture that my wife took from the top down. And so it's one of those spiral staircases where you can always see down as you're going up. And that's me clutching both handrails as I'm going down. And then this is a picture of me at the top. I never got any further from the doorway than that right there. I never went to that railing. The rest of my family walked all the way around. I stayed right there halfway in the doorway. But what kinds of fears do you have? We're going to talk about some fears that come up in our Christian lives here in this text today. So if you remember from last week, for those that heard it, I talked about the passage where Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You see, Jesus is getting his disciples ready to send them out into those fields. And he now has some words that he's going to share with them before he sends them out. And some of these words that Jesus shares with his disciples probably brought a little fear into their lives. Maybe not just a little, but maybe a lot. Jesus says in verse 16, before the text that I'm going to read, that he is going to be sending his disciples out like sheep amongst wolves, is what he's sending them out into. And so this training is going to prepare these disciples for the bigger mission that they will all undertake after Jesus' death and resurrection, when they go out with no fear. So let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 10, starting here with verses 21 through 23. And this is in the midst of some of the words that Jesus shares. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Wow. So the first point I want to make here, there will be persecution following Jesus. Notice what Jesus said there in those verses that I just read. He didn't say, if they persecute you, he said, when they persecute you. It's not a question. You will be persecuted. Verse 21 had some tough words, didn't it? Brother will deliver brother over to death. Family members will be delivering other family members over to death. You see, Jesus knew that his disciples and this mission he was giving them was going to be tough for them because family members would get mad at them. And they would be tempted to stop the mission because they didn't want to upset their family members. If you remember, even Jesus' family turned on him It says his brothers and sisters thought he was a crazy man when he went to his hometown of Nazareth to preach and teach. They turned their backs on him at that time. And so Jesus was calling them and us to have and to put our love and commitment to him, number one, even over our immediate family. Let's be honest, is that a tough one? We are not to put our family above God. How often do we do that, though? Myself included. That's a tough one, Jesus. But Jesus knew what was going to happen, that delivering the gospel message would cause families to break up. He didn't want them to do that. He wanted them to remain firm. And so let's talk about this when Jesus said, when you are persecuted, not if. What is persecution exactly? Well, it can include different forms, like ridicule, restriction, discrimination, harassment, torture, imprisonment, ostracism, or even death. Got a couple stories here I wanted to share with you this morning about this. The first one takes place in a Hindu family. A 15-year-old named Himal grew up in a Hindu family. His aunt shared the gospel with him, and he placed his trust in Christ in September of 2022, not that long ago. Himal's family have applied significant pressure to stop him from attending church. And his father, who works abroad, has repeatedly called and threatened him that he would be disowned and kicked out of the house. When his father learned that Himal did not celebrate the recent Dashain Hindu festival, his father told him, "You are not my son, but you are a big dog whom I am keeping in my house." Huh, it's almost as if Jesus knew this was going to happen. Here's another one from Turkey. The title is, "Tell Me the Truth, Dead or Alive." When Suzanne Geske heard the answer to that question, that her husband, Tilman, had been murdered along with two Turkish Christians, she was overwhelmed with shock. The Geskes had been in Turkey for 10 years. It's a Muslim country, and they knew there was some risk for Christians, but she never thought their family would be affected. The five murderers, all aged between 19 and 20, were arrested, but Turkish media members rushed to Malatya, which is where it is in Turkey, to report on the missionary massacre. And they wanted to interview the wife, Suzanne. She didn't know what to say when they came to her door the day after her husband had been martyred simply for being a missionary spreading the gospel. Praying, she asked, "Lord, what should I say?" The Holy Spirit answered and told her what to say. "Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Which is, of course, what Jesus said on the cross as he was dying. And though Turkish media often paint Christians as an enemy, with the Lord's help, Suzanne used this opportunity to share the gospel of forgiveness and the love of Jesus. The reason she could forgive the men who killed her husband. And even though this is a Muslim country and Christianity is outlawed, this was broadcast over their media. One more. Saeed and his wife, Mamona, have 6 children and live in a small Hindu village in Pakistan. April of 2022, just over a year ago, a Hindu religious leader and one of Saeed's relatives confronted them about their Christian faith. The religious leader questioned why the couple had not attended Hindu festivals or participated in Hindu prayers. The leader and the relative threatened the couple to renounce their faith in Christ. But Saheed and Mamona remained firm in their faith. Around 2 weeks later, the family's home was set on fire, and the two youngest Christian children were killed. When the couple notified the police, the authorities tried to pressure them to claim the fire was an accident, which we know it wasn't. Persecution. Those are some stories from around the world: Pakistan, Turkey, India. But what about America? You know, that kind of persecution, that kind of violence hasn't come to America yet. But persecution comes in other forms. This is right here in the United States of America. Jack Phillips, who is a baker, has been harassed for over a decade, bombarded with requests to make the most profane cakes, and dragged in and out of court simply for trying to run his business as a Christian. Here's another one, a woman named Baronelle Stutzman, a florist. She's out in Oregon. Was eventually forced into retirement because she also refused to compromise on her traditional Christian faith commitments and participate in the celebration of sin. She ended up losing her business, getting death threats. Here's one. Coach Joe Kennedy was fired for exercising his First Amendment rights to pray to God in public. And it took him almost 7 years to fight this unjust persecution, prevailing only when they went to the Supreme Court. These are forms of persecution of Christians here in our country. No, we don't face death and the violence that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing around the world. But it's coming and it's intensifying in our very own country. You know, following Jesus Christ is not just sunshine and lollipops. This text that I'm reading here does not sugarcoat the difficulties of the Christian life. Jesus says in verse 24 that a disciple is not above his teacher. We should expect the same. And we know what our teacher went through, the persecution he went through, the ridicule, the mocking. We should not expect any different being a disciple of him. You know, but all this is not without hope. Because of these verses I'm going to read to you right now. Jesus goes on to say in verse 26, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the mountaintops, rooftops." I lost my spot. There we are. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." some strong words from Jesus, but also some very important words of hope. Jesus says to not be afraid. He says it three times in those six verses. Do not fear. You know, a natural response to us going out and spreading the gospel in our words and in our actions and in our deeds, a natural reaction to that is fear, right? It's not always the easiest thing to do to stand up for Jesus and the truth. So a bunch of Christians were asked, you know, what prevents people from sharing their faith? See if you can identify with any of these 10 responses that were given the most. Number one, just flat out fear. Two, didn't have opportunities. Really? Three, didn't feel equipped. Said others weren't interested. Four, feared rejection. Feared hostility. Too busy. Remember, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, the word busy is nothing but being under Satan's yoke. And how often do we say we're just too busy to do anything, even though we're busy? Too shy. Didn't want to be pushy. And then finally, didn't want to offend anyone. Which is exactly what the gospel does at times. Verse 26, Jesus said, have no fear, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. The truth of the gospel will emerge and smother out all these other false truths that we hear day in and day out in our country and our world. The gospel will prevail and emerge through all of it. Verse 28, he said, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, we may be killed for being a Christian, but they can't take our soul. Only God can take body and soul. And then he says in verses 29 to 31, he talks about sparrows and hare. And I love these verses. Sparrows. This, back in that time, the reason Jesus used that, the very poor people would purchase two of them for a penny for food. That shows you how little meat some of the very poor had then. But even though these seemingly worthless birds in God's creation, not even sparrows can be harmed or killed without the knowledge and will of God. And then he talks about our hair. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. And I looked it up. Now, some more than others, but we, between 90,000 and 150,000 is how much hair we have or had. This is how well the Father knows you. And he cares about sparrows. How much more is he value you and me? That's how much he cares about us and loves us. And he knows you so intimately. He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. Can you believe it? I can't. But that's how much he loves you. How much does he love you? Yeah. More than the hairs on her head. I got a picture on the screen. This isn't scripture, but it says, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? Jesus replies, this much, and stretched his arms out on the cross and died. You know, we don't need to be afraid when we are out in those fields that are ripe, spreading the gospel, even though we may be persecuted. We don't need to be afraid because we have a God who cares about us and loves us that much. Amen. Let's pray.